Okay, we're on 66A2. Birmingham Leo Zugo. It's about halfway. The end of the last word on the line is Robin. First word, the next line is Gum Leo. Right, Gum Leo Zugo. Very interesting. Zugo is usually scissors. So Birmingham Leo Zugo. Birmingham Leo the barber. Okay, so Birmingham Leo the barber. Slake Lagabi Ili the basement, the base Rebbiani. So he went to the base manager of Rebbiani. He saw them taking an olive and eating it as an appetizer before the meal. Brachel in front of the Lachel, they made a bracha beforehand, Barkura eights, and they made Al Ha'ates, Al Paris, after eating it. Amaloi, so he said to them, is that what we do? Is that the way we eat? Rabbi said, Sha'al Lurab Shul Barnach. So he sent the following question about this matter about eating an olive before a meal, and it, you know, whether you should make a bracha after it or not. And the response was, that you have to insert all these words, otherwise it doesn't make any sense, I guess. Reb Kahana b'shem Reb Avina. So the answer was that he said with regard to this Machlaikas, Reb Yehuda and the Chacham in the Mishnah regarding a person who has different foods. So they disagree. Do you make a bracha? Right? They disagree where you're going to eat bread afterwards, right? So that's where you're not going to make a bracha achrona before these foods. And that's when the Chachamim say you do whichever one you want, right? Like we explained yesterday at length. Kol Amma Maidi, but even the Chachamim agree, Shem Yesh B'Neim and Min Shiva, Olofu Mavarech, that, meaning if you did not have intent, you have to speak this out. But if you did not intend to eat bread, then everybody agrees you're supposed to make make the bracha of the mishra. Just 1 second. So you see from that that when you have an appetizer before bread, that there's no bracha achrayna. Because that, in other words, basically what he's saying is it's partial. We're just trying to be medayik. Is he asked again? Rabbi Gamliel Zuga saw them making a bracha before and after before the meal, and from this machlokas, the way we're amazed with the machlokas, right? The only time they have a machlokas is if there's going to be bread before the meal, and it's obvious therefore that you do not make a bracha achrona. If there's bread, which is what the case we're talking about, right?
Did we say yesterday that you have a choice what coffee you want to make?
That's the Chacham. Yes, you are correct. That's the Bracha Rishona. That's what the Rav Chachamim held. The Tanakhama holds that you make a bracha on whichever one you want before the meal. But that's only, and Rabbi Yehuda holds you make it on the Shabbos minute. And that's only because let's say what we said yesterday again, because there's no Heker, there's no Maila that's Nikeras in the brachos, because Bright Prayer 8's. After all, as a bright pair of eights, regardless what you make it on. And therefore, they say the only way it will be nicker is if you make a bracha achrona. Since you're eating bread beforehand, right after that, you're not going to make a bracha achrona. And therefore, okay, that was the hezbo we said. So it becomes obvious from that explanation that you do not make a bracha achrona on any foods that you eat before the meal. Okay? That's all we're saying here. So this is really a continuation from what we just finished explaining previously. Orim Zeir of Yoz, this is correct. It's a statement, I guess. Min man dan al chamin rab. As far as the shmorg is concerned, the people online, the shmorg is being brought up again. the seat must be, but so So let's just relax. Okay. Take the medication. I did. Thank you. Let's just stick in the machlokas the way you explained it with a shmorg. Okay. So you have a shmorg, and in the shmorg, there is the stuff that you like. Like, let's say, I love mango personally. So there's some sliced up mango, delicious mango. And then next to that, there's some grapes. Now I'm going to eat grapes, I'm going to eat mango. So this is machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to make a bracha on the grapes because that's one of the shows minim. According to the Chacham, the thing that I want is going to be more important, more chaviv, and therefore I make a bracha on the mango. But that's only because I'm going to eat bread right after that. Let's suppose, I mean, it's not such a great example of the shmorg because I make a bracha achrona at the end of the shmorg.
So I do make a bracha achrona.
The answer to your question is yes. You make a bracha achrona at the end of the shmorg because there's a large hefsek, number one, usually as much as an hour and a half. And second of all, because like Shamsi just said, you're Mashana Makum completely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. so let's move on. Amar Bzeir of Yoz, this is correct. Again, this is the Rosh Chodesh meal that they used to make when they were Mubarak Chodesh. And I saw the Chacham eating. And what did they do? What they did was they ate grapes before the meal. They didn't make bracha achrona. So, isn't it because that was the four spice, so to speak? And that's why, and so you see this, it's just like a typical thing. It's a maisa to support what we've been saying. Okay? Now, what do you minimum shiva? That's right. Yeah, that was regularly done. I'm going to read you a Mishnah Berurah a little bit about this. The Mishnah Berurah has a long paragraph about this. I want to make sure everybody's familiar with it. If a person has the Shiva Minim, so is there an order, is there a pecking order to the Shiva Minim themselves? I've got grapes, I've got dates, I've got olives, I've got barley, wheat. Well, what's the story? What's the pecking order? So the Gemara, Yushami answers it. Tamon Amrin. So whichever's first in the pasuk, that means so you have an eretz kitu sorrow, gefen verimo, right? I skipped over teina, right? Teina gefen verimo. So those, obviously, if you have a rimon and you have something earlier, gefen, you're going to do gefen first because it's earlier in the pasuk. But the second part of the Yerushalmi is the more interesting part of it is, let's suppose I have a Zayas and a Tamar. Zayas Shemun Udvash. What's the last Dvash? The last Dvash is not honey, it's dates, right? So date honey, what is referring to dates? So dates are second to the second Oretz, second one. And so therefore, if you would have a Zayas and a tamar, then you would make tamar first, because even though zayis is in the first eretz, but it's farther down the line, it's all the way down the line, whereas this is number two. So right, and if you had, so now let's just take the last case that I'm going to give you, which is, let's suppose I had a date and saorim, right? So it's number two in the first list, and it's number two in the second list. So which one do you do? So there they say, because it's the first, the pasuk, so you'll do that one first. So it'll take, so using these two rules, you can figure everything out. Of course, that's where they are both chaviv. Where halacha speaks this out, where, because otherwise, if one is more chaviv than the other, then the Rambam shita is all bets are off. You go after the chaviv. Okay. Yeah, I wanted to just mention to you, while we have this open, I wanted to mention you, there's a Mishnah Berurah here. You know what? Let me hold off on this Mishnah first. Let me go a little further. Okay, we're up to Halacha Hey on Samach Vav on Beis. I forgot to announce that. We're on 66B. Halacha Hey. Birachal Hayyan Shalthea Mazin, Pratu Sayyan Shalacha Mazin. Okay, so if you made a bright piagophon before you washed, that will, whenever we're going to say in this Mishnah, L'achar HaMazon, it means not after Berachas HaMazon, it means after the meal before Berachas HaMazon. And so they would drink wine before the meal and they would drink wine after the meal. So the Mishnah says, Birachal Hayyan Shalthea Mazin, Pratu Sayyan Shalacha Mazin. Bright piagophon before the meal starts will Pratu that wine, which is dessert. Birachal HaPratu Shalthea Mazin, if they made a bracha on this, he's translating a peripheral dish. So this peripheral dish is made out of some nuts and dates and honey and some bread. It's bracha, this parparis, the bracha is bari mina mazonos. So if he makes a bracha on the parparis before the meal, he patras the parparis, which is after the meal. Okay? Berachal HaPas, patras the parparis. If he made a mighty lechmana aretz, then you patra the parparis, obviously, because you washed. It's not so partial because it's going to be coming at the end after as a dessert, right? So it's telling me that it's taken care of. Birachal haparparis lo patra sapas.
We're talking about the parparis during, not after.
You sure about that? Eight. You are correct. I'm sorry. You are correct. I made a mistake. I should have spoken that out. Number eight, it says the reference is to a peripheral dish eaten during the meal as a side dish. It's subordinate to the bread, so the pamotzi blessing of the bread exempts it. Okay. Yeah, I made a little mistake there. Yeah. So we'll have to discuss whether it'll work for the preparis, which is after the meal. Okay, we're going to see that in a second. Now, if you make a bracha on the parparis, so this would be you made a bracha on the parparis before the meal, you would not be motzi, you wouldn't pater the bread, which is going to be eaten subsequently before the meal. Now, this needs a little bit of explanation. First of all, he brings down in footnote 9, he quotes from a Rashi, very, very interesting. That Rashi seems to indicate that parparis was not made out of what I just described, which was a mazonos, but actually was fish or fowl. So if that's the case, why would anyone think that a shahako on a fish would pater bread, that you need a mishnah to tell me it doesn't pater the parparis? That would be a little difficult. So, I mean, I'm not getting into what how to learn up Rashi. But Tosis says that's talking about, therefore, it's a mazonos. He says over here, it's a dish, crumbled bread, bound together by thick sauce or honey. And therefore, that lacks the sur de pas. But since it is essentially a form of bread, is the way he writes it, so you might have thought that the bracha would exempt genuine bread, even though it's served afterwards.
So
No. According to everybody, it's a real solid food. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Huh? Be Shamai Omim Aflo Maisa Kedera. That it won't even potter porridge. So this porridge apparently is a mazonos porridge. Anyway, so the Tanakhama said mazonos on the peripheral dish does not exempt bread. So that seems to imply that it would exempt something like porridge. So Kamash Lon Beis Shammai is two ways to learn Beis Shammai, apparently. So the first way to learn Beis Shammai is like that. The diuk from the Tanakhama was that it's only not moitzi bread, but it would be moitzi porridge, even though it's not exactly the same. But, right? But Kamash Lon Beis Shammai, that it's not moitzi the porridge. That's mahalach number one. There's another mahalach. That what the Tanakhama said that if you say hamotzi, it exempts a peripheral dish, meaning it's motzi the parparis hapas. You don't have to make another bracha on the parparis hapas taksudo, which means it sounds like surely it'll be motzi porridge taksudo, Because again, the difference between these foods is whether you're eating it for zon purposes, for sustenance purposes. Porridge is more of a sustenance type food, whereas parparis is more like a dessert type food. So a shamay would disagree completely and rule that what? Hamotzi does not even exempt porridge served during the meal. This would be a really extreme shot. But even porridge in the middle of a meal, Reish Shammai holds, it wouldn't be bitesy, and surely not parparis. Now, that I mean, I guess we're going to see this later on. 67B yet to come. So these are two pshatim how to learn Reish Shammai. Okay. Now, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chista, Lo taninon elo berachah yan shel tnei hamazon, parparis yan shel achar mazon. The Mishnah, when it said that baracha of bari piyagafen before the meal is might see the bari piyagafen after the meal, that's because you made bari piyagafen before the meal began. Again, there's two reasons to drink wine. Drinking wine because you like wine, you like it as a drink, and you drink a little wine before the meal begins, and after the meal is over, you drink some more wine. That's wine being drunk, l'shem, mitzvahs, shikr, you know, whatever. The connoisseur type drinking. Then you could be drinking wine in the middle of the meal, as instead of soda, you're drinking wine to kind of, you know, that would be more to help aid the digestion to rinse down the food down your throat. However, so the only time the bracha of bari piyagafen will be might see the bracha piyagafen after, as if it's before that. So they're both the same type of drinking. But if you made a bracha of bari piyagafen, toichasuda. If you made a bracha in the middle of the meal, you would not potter the wine after, because it's two different types, even though it's the same bracha, but it's two different kinds of drinking.
He did not drink wine before the meal in this case.
Right. In this case, he did not drink wine before the meal. He just drank wine in the middle of the meal. And that, according to this Rav Chista, would not be mitzvah. Okay.
People drink like dessert wine after dessert.
Yeah. based on what he's saying here, yeah. Now halacha lemaisa, no. Halacha lemaisa, no. I'm going to tell you why in a second. Yeah. Tamon Amrin, I wanted to get to the bottom of the page before I read the Mishnah here. Tamon Amrin, afilu berachal hayan shel tnei hamazon. Now there, Taman, again, you're referring to the people in Bavel as Taman. Now over there, they got the whole rule wrong. Now we got a Mishnah here that says Beferish, that at Potter's, they decided that, no, even if you made a bracha before the meal, then it is not Potter the wine after the meal. Bahataninon, the Gemara says, what are you talking about? We learned in our Mishnah, Birachal HaYashalthi HaMasim Potter HaYashal HaMasim, flat out contradiction to our Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Levi, they answer Chanamar. So one answer is the following. Again, we have a stira. One says that if you made a bracha before, it does not potter after, and one says it does potter after. What's the answer? The answer is one says that Bohadein Dushasi Kunditun. Kunditun is a very, very expensive wine. Only the rich drink this wine, and as such, let's see. Yeah, in other words, those people who drink. Let me say it. It's in 16. He writes it out clearly, and I don't want to say it wrong. So I'm just going to look at the way he writes it. He says, when a wealthy person drinks wine before dinner, he's aware he will also be drinking post dinner. So he kind of like has that in mind. People of ordinary means, us plain, like my father used to say, us plain BVDs, bus of adums, with us BVDs, we who are ordinary people do not commonly drink post-dinner wine. So when they recite a blessing over pre-dinner wine, they do not have in mind to exempt post-dinner drink. So in the event it's served, they get surprised. Oh, you have post-dinner wine. So that's a complete surprise. So therefore, right, so that would not potter that wine. So that's the answer to the steer. So in Bavel, they were talking about the regular people. And in our Mishnah, we're talking about the very rich people. That's his answer. It could be either way. It's flavored with pepper and honey. It's expensive. Yeah, yeah. That's an indication of a wine cellar. Let's put it that way. I don't know. Hatova Meitiv is usually if you bring a better quality wine to the table after you've begun the meal. But if the better quality wine was the first bottle of wine you put out there, you don't make a Hatova Meitiv.
New bottle, second bottle. Because you also
don't have to, you can't know that. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's not again me. I wouldn't make a Hatova Meitiv on any wine. I'd make a Dynamis on wine. Don't wait, it's mamish a waste. That's right. And he made, I ate over at Joey's house. He served Manischewitz Concord grape wine, the way the Zayda used to drink it. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Let's see over here. Now, the Chanomar, the other one has a different answer. Tadein deshasi chamar boso bilni. That the Mishnah is talking about like someone who drinks wine after visiting the bathhouse. So when you go to the bathhouse, it says over here that they would be, he says that they leave a person drained of energy. I mean, I don't know what kind of bathhouses they had. It must have really worn them out. So they would have from the heat and steam, whatever. So that what they would have is they have a lavish meal after they come out to recover, right? What's it mean when you re-drink fluids? It's called rehydrate. Thank you. To rehydrate yourself, right? So they're rehydrating. So you anticipate a drink of post-dinner wine. So therefore, your pre-dinner wine will exempt it. Okay, this is just another illustration. It's not really arguing or anything. Let's see. Now on the bottom here, I want to read you this bottom note here, which is the important note. The bottom of 17 in the brackets, the Rush comments in the name of the Ravid, these limited applications of the law apply in societies where post-dinner wine is a rarity. In places where post-dinner wine is commonly drunk, a blessing on pre-dinner wine will always exempt it. Okay, so that's one. That's not what I wanted to read you there. I wanted to read you the following, Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah has a certain number of rules here, okay? At the end of Siman Kufay and Vav. Okay. So he says the following. Okay. Harotzalechol kodem tells you time with suudam and from shatrak levarchalayim tov suudam. Someone wants to eat before an atelsidayim things that you would have to normally make a bracha on in the suudah. For instance, fruit. And he has in mind to eat fruit also in the suudah. And he's mechavein to me pater with this bracha that which he's going to eat toch hasud as well. In Cain, have hakol lutzarech suudo. The ein tzarech levarech achareihim. You don't have to make any bracha afterwards because brachas amazon is going to take care of that, right?
And the bracha you made before the food is the one that you're going to eat in the meal.
Correct. Now that's if he has in mind. That's if he's going to eat it in the meal. Then the Mishnah Berurah adds. The im lo yochal tochasuda, obviously, the next detail you have to know. What if you're only eating it? You're eating a pre-suda apple. You're not going to be eating any apples after you eat this one apple. Then he says, Tzarech levarech bracha achrona aleihem. The kim to achlon kodem asuda ein shayochim l'suda klal. And even if he made even if he didn't make the bracha achrona before the Tosafot Yadayim, he has to make the bracha achrona in the middle of the meal. Okay, that's the Mishnah Berurah's psak. I don't know if it covers that shmur. Anyway, that's rule number one. So that's rule number one. Rule number two. Let's suppose he eating something which does not require a bracha in the middle of the meal, right? This was talking about fruit, which requires a bracha. What if he eats something which does not require a bracha in the middle of the meal? He's eating, He's eating French fries. He's eating French fries, or he didn't drink a soda, correct? Then what do you do that? Then afilo imdato lecho mehem gam tochasuda enamoyo lahem klal habracha rishono to belav hafihem niftar maide brachsam otsi al karchav ma rokein ma shalcho karm asuda en shayach klal hasud. So since right that bracha that stuff didn't require us a bracha in the middle of the meal anyway. So therefore, by virtue of the fact that you made the bracha beforehand, it has nothing to do with what you're going to eat later, because that stuff later didn't require bracha to begin with. In other words, by the fruit, there was a connector. The bracha connected the fruit before the suda to the toch suda, because either place required a bracha. But you don't have any connector here, because the French fries didn't require bracha in the middle of the suda. Therefore, tzorach levarach aleihem bracha achrona b'ayinafach shravos. So according to this, if you ate French fries before the meal, you have to make a bracha fushas after, even in the middle of the meal, right? Even if you remember in the middle of the meal if you ate French fries before the meal and you washed and you remembered in the middle of the meal that you forgot to make bracha achrona, you have to make bracha achrona. That seems to be what he's saying. Okay. And finally, the last rule. Well, actually, there's two more rules. Okay, im ochal kodem hanatila paparos lahamshach halev. Whenever you're eating something because you want to make, Mishnah Berurah. You're eating, let's say, you're eating pickles. So often people would eat pickles to stimulate, or to whet your appetite. W-H-E-T. To whet your appetite, right? Then it has shakas to the suda. Of course, you don't have to make any bracha achrona on that. So if you eat pickles beforehand, no problem. Just go right to the suda. Regardless whether you're going to eat a toch suda or not eat the suda. The final rule is, ha demutar lechol kodem hamoitzi dvarim she'ein tzarach bracha toch hasuda. Right, the things this that we're allowing you to eat French fries before the suda, that's only if you don't plan on eating immediately. Here we're talking about the brach shein tzricha issue. Everything is ready to go, and you decide you just don't have patience. That's not cool. Also, legram brach shein tzricha or the vrach hamaitzi biyifter shari dvarim. That's nothing to do with Shabbos. That's the Chayyotim. Yeshomrim, but there's one last Yeshomrim here, which we'll end with this. Im ohev yosel ochlon karam hasuda milo oichlon tarch hasuda eim bazem yishum bram brachar shem tzrich. If you have for some reason some, I guess, I don't know how to describe it. It's a habit. It becomes like the pickles. It's you like to eat this at this time. I gotta tell you, when I was growing up, this is the way it was every Shabbos. My father made kiddush, and my mother served a lakshon kugel. We all made a mezonos on the lakshon kugel. Well, I ate lakshon kugel all day long. I mean, it was like, oh. But my point is that was like I looked for a whole week to that special kugel after kiddush. You know, you were hungry and you didn't have to wait right before the suda. And we did not make a bracha achrona on that. We just went right to the suda after that. And I mean, I don't know what.
You're not going to eat a meal after
that. No, this last part, he said, again, one more time. He said that if you're ready to eat the meal right away, you shouldn't be eating it before the suda because it's bracha and sifa. The yesh omrim, that if that's the way you like to eat, then it's not a problem. Even though you're going to eat right away.
I
wonder
about this. If you're eating
Shabbos
at the shmorg, and at the meal they only serve meat, chicken and meat considered the same, or you have to make some
bracha. You're talking about different cases. You're asking an interesting question. You're asking a question where you're not going to wash for the main meal, like many people don't, and you make a shahako on the chicken and the shmor, and then you go in to eat the main meal, and all you're going to eat is the meat that's served without washing. Could you rely on the shahako to be moitzi the meat? That's your question. Unfortunately, usually that chicken was eaten in a totally different area of the building. It's a bracha, it's a davar ha-toten brachmim komo. You have to make the brain of fashas where you ate the chicken. I wouldn't advise it. I would say you should make a brain of fashas after you eat the chicken and the shmor, and make another bracha on meat later. Okay, kol tov.